in his esteem, and sinners highly value him.
You've heard us quote that line before. The sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. That's where that came from. Joseph Hart. And there's nothing in the Green Hymnal that even comes close to this, except Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. But this is a very good hymn. All right. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15 with me. 1 Corinthians 15. As I said, this will, Lord willing, this will be a two-part message. It didn't begin that way. I intended to do it all this evening, but this whole story we're about to consider takes in about well over 7,000 years, so it can't be told in 40 minutes. The half certainly has not been told, and not even a fraction will be tonight. So we're going to do the two-part message. I believe it was Brother Don Bell, in a note I wrote to him, that I went over to Genesis and began to look at this story of the first Adam. In Adam, all die, and stayed there too long. And didn't leave myself enough time to deal well with the second Adam. So Sunday, Lord willing, we'll continue this. The truth, which is the gospel, is a true rags to riches story. A true bitter sweet story. The gospel is the story of man's fall in Adam. We cannot understand the gospel nor appreciate it. That's just what we just sang. You cannot understand nor appreciate or really believe the gospel unless you know something about and have experienced something of this fall that man took in the garden. The gospel is the story of man's fall in Adam and his rise in Christ. Look at verse 22. This is the text. Verse 22. As in Adam, all die. Very plainly, all in Adam die. All have anything that have anything to do with Adam, or in Adam, who come from Adam, die. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. All those in Christ, all those who come from Christ, shall be made alive. All right. Now that's a summary of this chapter is, and he said in verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel. And most have taken it to be just the first four verses of this chapter. If you want a little English lesson, there are several conjunctions in each verse. And, after, and, for. You don't stop at verse 4. Besides, there's a colon there in it. And you keep going. So, this is the summary of this whole gospel that he declares. And throughout this chapter, he talks of things like this: corruption and incorruption. Mortality and immortality. Dishonor and honor. Things that are natural, things that are spiritual. Earthy and heavenly. Death, victory, or life. And so this is a true rags to riches and bitter sweet story. Our gospel, the gospel, begins in darkness. Now, understand what I'm saying. It begins in darkness and ends in light. In other words, it begins with death and ends in life. It begins with sin and it ends in righteousness. There's no good news, as we said. There's no gospel, no good news without first the bad news. Or else the good news is not really good news. There's no mercy or appreciation of it except for those who are fallen, guilty, sinner. I saw a poll that they took of many concerning this coming year, 2007. And they asked people what they expected, whether they expected good things or bad. And the general consensus was among people that most expected gloom and doom for the coming year. Gloom and doom. Well, I thought about that. I thought it depends on how you look at it. Depends on how you look at it. Concerning this earth, yeah, it's a doomed place. Whether it'll be this year, I don't know. But it will be. The trump shall sound. It shall. And then it'll be over. The Lord will fold this thing up like a vesture, he said. Melt away, we read that Sunday with a fervent heat. But if you look at or look to the Lord, it's not doom. It's not gloom. It's unspeakably good. All right, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, okay? Let's go back to the beginning. You can't tell the gospel without starting in the beginning. The beginning. You know, mankind, man doesn't have any answers, really, or any hope. These people who said gloom and doom, they don't really have any hope because, number one, man rejects this book. Man doesn't believe this is God's Word. So where is he looking for his answers? He's looking within. Or he's looking to other men. And man doesn't know the end because he doesn't know the beginning. You see. You know what the word Genesis means, don't you? It's the beginning. Okay. And we, by God's grace, through this book of life. You know, that's what this is. This is the book of life, which God Almighty wrote. The book of life. Been written by God. We read it. We receive it. We believe it. We can go back to the beginning, like we are now, and we can see why things are the way they are. We have no trouble seeing why things are just the way they are, because God said. We're going to see in a moment, in a few moments, why things are the way they are. Why women are the way they are. Why men are the way they are. Why the world is the way it is. The scriptures tell us that. Those things. And then you can look in the chapters in the middle and then go all the way to the last chapter and we can tell what's going to be in the end. Through God's Word. All right, chapter 1 is the chapter, the beginning of creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There's no way to understand this vast mystery called the universe, planet Earth, mankind, life, without God, without a creator. Is there? A fool that said no God. This thing called the universe. David declared, when I consider the heavens, moon, the stars, and so forth, you've got to believe it's the work of a marvelous, magnificent, infinite creator. Don't you? There's no way. There's no way to come even close to understanding anything about it except believing God created it. An all-wise creator. You remember that illustration of the man talking to this fellow that didn't believe that God created all things, and he asked him to show him his watch. You remember that? No? Good. I'll tell it again. It's one of the best I've ever heard. A believer was talking to another man who did not believe that God created all things. And he asked the man, do you wear a watch? And the man said, yes, I do. He said, may I see it? The man said, sure. He took it off and handed it to him. The believer looked at it and he said, that's a fine watch. Beautiful watch. The man said, sure is. It's a Rolex, you know, 22 jewels or whatever. Perpetual oyster, pearl, you know, all that stuff. And the believer said, do you believe this had a wise, skilled craftsman who made this and created it? Oh, he said, yes, yes, handmade. Switzerland, handmade. It's clear by looking at it, isn't it? And the believer said to him, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. He said, what I believe about this watch, he said, I believe that billions of years ago, floating out in outer space, were mainsprings and stems and crystals and jewels and gears and watch bands and all this stuff floating around in outer space, and there was a huge bang. Boom! And now you have your watch. I thought you said you hadn't heard it before. Well, the fella whose watch it was, he said, well, how foolish can you be? You can tell that somebody made that by the marvel of it, the skill of it and so forth, the beauty of it. You can tell. Well, you're a fool to believe such a thing. He said, no. The man said, no. Thou art a bigger fool than I. To believe that this vast thing called the universe and all its complexity and all its marvel and all its glory and all of its amazement, and especially this thing called man, which David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The God's crowning glory, that is, of creation, mankind. To believe that man just evolved from a soup. You're a fool. There's only one way to understand something of this vast thing called the universe and creation. God. In the beginning, God. And God doesn't go into great detail. We couldn't understand it. He wrote enough for us to know and believe. Didn't he? In the beginning, God created all things. All things. God created. And it says, I'll never forget the first time this was brought to my attention. Look at it. In the beginning, God, verse 1, verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and dark the deep, and the Spirit of God. Capital S. You're not reading it with me, some of you. And the Spirit of God, capital S, moved upon the face of the water. Now, there's another person. All right, it said God. And here it gives another person, the Spirit of God. Well, verse 3 says, and God said. That's the voice of God. God spoke the Word. Right there's the three persons of the Godhead. Look down at verse 26. And God said, let us make man. I thought God was one person. He is. But it says, let us. Yeah, there's three persons. See, I don't understand. I don't either. But that's the way it is. John wrote in nearly the next to last book, there are three that bear record in heaven, Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. In the beginning, God. All right, what's the first thing God created? Don't look. Light. It's the first thing God created. Why? You can't. Everything begins with light. David said in the Psalms, he said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. 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 The light in John 1, Scripture says, the light shineth in darkness. Are you with me here? You're going to have to be. This is a big, sweeping saga and story here. We've only been at it about 10 minutes. All right, God began this whole thing by creating light. And in John 1 says, light shineth in darkness, capital L. And the light was a person. Christ is all in all. We're going to see that. All right, keep going. In verse 26, he said, let us make man in our image. Hang on. God's spirit. God doesn't have an image. He just said he did. Didn't he? In our image. Our image, or God, you have the Holy Spirit. Somebody in the Godhead has to have an image. Yeah. You ever read that anywhere? That in one of the persons dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. In Hebrews 1, it says, Jesus Christ is the express image of God. The only begotten Son, or that is, bodily image of the Father. Full of grace and truth. The image of God. Jesus Christ. All right, it says in verse 27, male and female created he them. He called the male and female man, both of them. These two were one. Male and female created him. Co-equals. Yep. Co-equals. They were male and female. We're going to look at this a little more later. Male and female according to gender. But in equality, they were equal. They were same. Because God calls them man, both of them man. Mankind. The image of God. Each with qualities given to them, but equal. Equal. And as I said, Jesus Christ is the express image, as the Scripture said, the express image of God. And in him dwelleth all these qualities of mankind to the fullest extent. A man, the God-man. And later, we'll see this more in the next message. Well, this glorious beginning, this beautiful creation, God created everything and then he created man. He waited for the sixth day to create. And man was his crowning achievement, if you will. In his own image, that is the image of his son. Proverbs 8 says that. I was with him before there was ever earth, before the mountains. I was with him, brought up with him. Daily his delight. My delights were with the sons of men and rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth. Christ, every bodily appearance of God throughout scriptures is Jesus Christ. Write it down. Okay. But God created man and mankind, man and woman, put them in this gloriously beautiful garden, this carnal utopia. What a what? Glorious place. They were both naked, nothing to be ashamed of. Clothes are a result of sin. Matthew Henry, I believe it was, pointed out so astutely that it's amazing that man is so proud of what he only needs because of his shame. That's irony, isn't it? Anyway, this glorious and beautiful beginning, this beautiful creation of God, mankind, his most glorious creature, was in a garden like God, godlike, godly, godlike, without sin, dwelling in righteousness, was ruined by sin. Man fell from glory to shame, from life to death. And the only way to explain the mystery that is mankind. Now listen to what I'm about to say. The only way to explain this mystery that is mankind. Mankind is both beautiful and it is ugly. Mankind is both good, yet he's supremely evil. Mankind is both noble, yet he's
base.
Mankind is a higher creature, yet really he's more beastly than the beast. That's a paradox, isn't it? There's only one, the only way to explain this mystery called mankind is the fall of man. The only way. Well, chapter 3 of Genesis talks about a serpent. And I don't know what form this was. Nobody does. Okay? But we do know this was Lucifer. We know that. This was Satan, son of the morning, a fallen angel. Don't ask questions about, well, you know, go to Isaiah 14. Read where our Lord talked about him. We have to take the Lord Jesus Christ's word for it, don't we? He spoke of the fall of Lucifer. And once again, and I keep saying this because everything we believe is a person, Jesus Christ. We believe what we believe because God came down here and told us. And we believe him. And he said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning to the earth. Didn't he? He said, I was there. I beheld him fall as lightning. He's the one that cast him down. And man has all kind of questions about that. Scoffs and mocks. Man's scoffing at Jesus Christ is who he's scoffing at. And when he walked this planet, they tried to stump him, and they ended up confounded themselves. Didn't they? And man sure hadn't got smarter. I think he's a whole lot dumber. And the reason being, he's rejected all of it. Rejected the truth. Seen it not. Well, okay. Where am I? Serpent. Lucifer. Tempted. This is important. Paul wrote about this. Some things hard to be understood, but he wrote about it, didn't he? Huh? He said the woman being tempted was in the transgression. She was tempted. Adam wasn't tempted. The woman was. Satan did this by casting doubt upon God's word. That's how he began this whole thing. The woman was deceived. Adam wasn't. Is that right? You read it. Is that important to know? God's going to explain to us why things are the way they are. For that reason. The man willingly, willfully took part with her. He saw what she did, and he willfully rebelled against God's plain command and entered with her into this sin against God. And you and I have seen before how that in itself is a picture of Christ, isn't it? Amazing. I know you have many questions, but you can't. You can't ask them, and I can't answer them. We're going to go on. Okay. Now, in chapter 2, verse 17, God Almighty, before the woman was deceived and the man partook, God Almighty warned of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Let's read that again, okay? Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Die. Does everyone in here know what die means? D-I-E. Something dies, what does that mean? It ceases to exist. It dies. Dead. You know what dead is? No. Barnard used to say this for emphasis. Graveyard dead. Stinking dead. Now we understand, don't we? No life. Dead. Do you have a margin reference in your Bible next to that? If you have a Cambridge Bible, perhaps a Nelson, something else. It says this, doesn't it, beside it? It says, dying, thou shalt die. Well, that's good. That's good, too. Dying, thou shalt die. That explains man. Now, Adam did not die physically that day. did it. He did not die that day. He lived 969 years. Didn't he? No. 930 years. Is that right? 930 years. He didn't die that day. He lived a long time, physically. But then, what does God mean, die? You know, when God told man that, I don't think man had a clue what he was talking about. I know he didn't. Man, Adam didn't know what death was. He never seen it before. He didn't. What do you mean, death? What do you mean? Didn't Adam die? God said he would. He sure did. How? Spiritually. He lost the life of God. This, if you don't understand this, you don't understand anything else. Right? Spurgeon used to say, if you're wrong on the fall, you'll be wrong on it all. Everything starts here. The whole gospel story starts here. The first Adam. All human beings come from this man called Adam. In Adam, all die. Isn't that what this says, John Davis? Isn't that what this says, Patrick Holland? In Adam, all die. Paul spent several chapters in Romans describing this, explaining it, what it means to die. Be dead in sin. This thing called sin entering into this creature and killing him. It's making him dead to God. That's what that means. He lost the life of God, which is righteousness. Everything about man became wrong. Not right. Wrong. Everything was right. When God saw man, his last creation, when he saw it, he said, very good. And now after sin, it says over in chapter 6, God looked at man and saw that the thoughts of his heart and imagination were only evil continually. God said he's very bad. Everything about him. Man lost purity. I don't say holiness because God is holy. Now listen to me. I don't say holiness because, well, I do and I don't. Some of you understand what I mean by it. Real holiness, God's holiness, cannot sin. God cannot even be tempted to sin. This is why the second Adam has given us something that the first Adam didn't have, you see. This is why we have something in the second Adam that we didn't have in the first. But man lost light. He became darkness. His mind, his conscience, understanding was darkened. And truth, man started lying, began to live a lie. Love. When Adam saw, and all these things are written of in chapter 3. It says, look at verse 7, the eyes of both of them were open after they sinned against God. It was willful rebellion against God. And I don't have time to go into that, but they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together, and you know the significance of that. No. Tried to cover themselves before God with fig leaves. Boy, something bad has happened to this noble creature, hadn't it? Where is his mind? What happened to him? Think he's going to hide his nakedness from God? And he heard God walking in the cool of the day. He heard the voice of God walking, the voice of God walking. That's that word we read about in verse 3 of chapter 1, the word, the voice of God walking. See, the Word made flesh is Christ, who's rejoicing was in the habitable parts of the earth. Now he came, the Lord God, walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They'd never hidden from the Lord before. When the Lord came, they ran to him. They wanted to see him. They were naked. They delighted. They weren't ashamed. They delighted to see him. And he then. And rejoiced in his presence. They never hid from him. Now they're hiding from him like guilty, shameful. Well, something's happened then. Sin. And then the Lord began to question them. He said, "Who told you you were naked?" And the man said, verse 12, "The woman you gave to me." He blamed this woman. When God first presented her to him, he said, "That's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." Called her woman because she's taken out of man. Isha. Delighted, "Oh, this is the love of my life. This is me. This is part of my one." It's her fault. Division. Blame. Shame. Ignorance. Sin has come over their being. Sin is in it. And then, to make a long story short, this thing called sin had entered this godlike creature called man. And in sin and all its blackness and wickedness, Scripture talks about the exceeding sinfulness. These are just the seeds of it. All right? Dying, thou shalt die. It's going to get worse. It's going to get so bad that God's going to cut his years short. Man lived 900 and some odd years, you know, until he got worse and worse and worse. And God said, "I'm going to cut him short. 70. It's all I can take of you." Honestly. And the exceeding sinfulness of sin would not be fully known till many years later, till there were many, many, many of these creatures, these sinful, vile creatures all over the face of the earth with just don't care for God, don't even give God a thought. God now still the creator. God is still the provider. God is still the king. God is still the Lord and Master. God still provides. God still has. It's just of His mercy. It was of the Lord's mercy that He didn't take that first man and woman and destroy them right there. What need did God have of that man and that woman? Huh? What need did He have of them? He didn't create them because He needed them. He created them for His glory. Well, they sinned and fell. They fell and came short of His glory, didn't they? They dishonored God. They shamed God, didn't they? They brought reproach upon God. What further need did He have of them? But God, here's another part of God's glorious character that has never been seen. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is long-suffering. And God has a purpose in all this. To bring forth His greatest glory of all. See, that's the first man. But with Him, long before He created this man, it's the second man. You know, but the first was not really first. This is a mystery in the stand. Would you come up here, please, and explain this to the rest of you? The first man is not really the first, although he's called the first, and there's a second. But God had this other man, like David, you know. And this whole thing had to unfold for God to bring down this second Adam. Second Adam. Well, very quickly. Here's the reason things are the way they are. Okay? This was all, and Adam and Eve was the beginning of all sin and sorrows, toils and troubles. Man, Scripture says, is born of woman. From here on out will be few days and full of trouble. Why? He's got this thing called sin in him. Now, he's dead in it. All right, let's look at the woman's trouble real quickly. All right? Some of you, this ought to be real relevant to you. Woman has two troubles, basically. Childbirth and man. It's not funny, really. It's not funny, but that's really it. I wasn't trying to be funny. That's the way it is. A lot of women, I don't think it's funny. Verse 15. I don't blame you for laughing. You're just real carnal. No, but look at verse. Our Lord said in chapter 3, verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Had not Adam sinned, Eve sinned, Eve would have had a child pain-free. She would never have gone through what women go through monthly. She's never gone through any of that. It had been painless, no tears, no suffering, a joyful, nothing but a wonderful, beautiful experience. But God said, now, because of this, you're going to have nothing but pain and trouble. I'm going to greatly multiply. And from a 12-year-old girl till they start bearing children, is nothing but woman physical problems. Now, is there any other explanation why this is the way it is than right here? Huh? That's what God said. She has a greater source of really physical problems and trouble starts real early. Why? She was in the transgression. And God dealt with her first, didn't he? Dealt with her first. And then in verse 16, he said, so childbirth and all things that go with it. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I said before they were equal, and they were. I really do believe that physically they were both completely, perfectly equal. In station, no, man, the woman came out of man. It says God made her the helpmeet, but in actual equality before God, in God's eyes and so forth, there was not one ahead over another. They were perfectly equal. They had their station, man, woman, man, wife, so forth, and they both loved it, and there was no problem. And now sin comes in. And now God said, this is the way it's going to be. It's going to be a man's world. And I'm going to make the woman the weaker vessel. That's the way it is. Anybody got any problem with that? You better not. It's your fault. That's right. That's right. And God made these differences between male and female. It all resulted from sin. And we're going to see later on how that in Christ there's no male or female. He's going to change it all back. And really already has. There's no head over another in Christ, but one head. I told one of the brethren, in Christ we're all female. The bride. Weaker. That's right. I was talking to somebody. We were talking Sunday at the table, what it was. And we were talking about these things called hormones. And, you know, this is mankind's way of explaining it. Hormonal differences and all that. We see right here, God tells us where it all happened. Call it what you will, estrogen or testosterone, whatever it is. But man is physically stronger creature. That's the way it is. That's the way it has to be. And to be the breadwinner and so forth, and the protector and all of that. And a woman is given qualities of motherhood and all of that that men don't have and so forth. And nurturing qualities, all of these differences that must be. That must be in God's wisdom. That's the way it is. But it's all resulted from the fall. And But this thing, what our Lord said is, man shall have the rule over you. I think in this country, in our country, the female population is greater than the male. Why don't women take over? It's a man's world. Man's a dominant creature. That's the way it is. Don't let your feminist side come out now. Don't do it. Mary, is it the way you like it, though? Hannah Hart, is this the way you like it? Sherry, you see the wisdom of God in all that? Hannah, you do? God's people do. They wouldn't change it. They wouldn't change it. That's the way it is. And that's how you can you explain a woman being under a domineering man and get out of that and get right back into another one. And I explain. She wants to be. Ah, well, that's all sin. That's what happened. All right, how about man? Man's trouble. Man's trouble. Unto Adam he said, verse 17, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. In other words, you're going to be digging in the dirt for the rest of your day. Digging and digging and digging and digging and digging and digging. You're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to start digging. And she's going to sit home with babies. And you're going to go out and dig. And you're going to complain. You're going to bust your knuckles. And you're going to sweat and work all day long. 12 hours in the day, our Lord said. But you're going to keep doing it till the day you die. Dust you came from, that's what you're going to work in. And thorns and thistles, it's going to be nothing but trouble. And the sweat of your face, you're going to eat your bread. Don't complain about it. Because it's our fault. Right? That's what happened. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life, until you return to the dust. Okay. So, that's where these differences came from. Do you understand a little bit now? Yeah, I know you do. You know these things before. When God said, you're going to go back to the dust. God talked about thorns, thistles, pain, sorrow, troubles, sweat, until you go back to dust. God created man from the dust of the ground. Breathed into him, he became a living soul. All right, he became a living soul. And over there we read in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, second Adam is a quickening spirit. There's a difference. And this whole story ends up this way, at least in the book of Genesis. Over in chapter 50, it ends up, it says in the beginning, God created, begins with life, and in chapter 50, the very last line says, a coffin in. It started out wonderfully, gloriously, life, and all the expectations of it. Like some of you with expecting young children, all you have is great expectation. And there will be good times. But there's going to be pain and great sorrow and trouble, all because of sin. You know why. And it all is going to end in a coffin. Or does it? Or does it? Oh, no. Before God kicked the man and the woman out, and it says he drove them out of that garden and put a flaming cherub where they couldn't get back in. Before he drove them out, he made this glorious promise. And a few people understand this. You're the chosen few. God said to the woman, or God said to both of them, really, the woman's seed. It's going to come something from a woman, born of a woman. made of a woman. Seed and woman. That's going to undo everything that Satan did. He's going to crush his power. Going to do away with that sin. Going to restore everything that man lost. Bring him back. Resurrect him back to the life of God. And it's the second Adam. So that's who God was talking about, the second Adam. All right, stand with me. Let's pray. Our Father, we repent of our sins in spiritual sackcloth and ashes. And dust, the old saying, our saying is, dust we are and to dust we shall return. Man returns to his earth. This is what we're made from, and this is what we go back to. We're sinful, base creature. All of sin comes short of thy glory. And we all have part in it, partakers of it. Adam's sin, his nature. In sin did our mothers conceive us, come forth from the womb speaking lies. We're born dead and trespassed in sin. This we know. This we believe. This we have experienced. Make everyone in here experience that, Lord. Know that. A sinner, as we sang, is a sacred thing. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals it. And Lord, thank God. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victories through the second Adam from above. Bring us back to hear of thy glorious remedy for sin, the restorer, the redeemer, the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to restore us. Lord, thank you for what we know. Forgive us for what we forget. Forgive us of our sins against thee and thee only. We sin, have sinned, and will sin in thy sight. Forgive us for Christ's sake. It's in his name we've met here tonight. Amen. You're dismissed.
Years of Genesis, the whole book, chapter of Genesis, book of 2,000 years, and then chapter Exodus 2, Moses is born. It's at that first generation.
And then you got the
dark.